All right, we'll see how this works. I'm not used to having a mic holding it the whole time, so all right, hopefully I don't make you sick. All right, I am so glad you're here this morning. The chairs, right? I thought about sitting in a chair the whole time I give a sermon. If we had a recliner chair, have you seen those? The fold-up recliners, those are amazing. I would sit in it this morning, and I would probably put myself to sleep. So I've already warned those, if I see you sleeping this morning, I'm bringing you up. You have to sit up on stage, right? Great story about that. This guy, I love him to death, and he would be all right with me telling this story. His name is Herb. He was a youth pastor in Bradenton, Florida. And he's been with one church almost his entire career. And he never became the senior pastor, lucky guy, all right? Don't take that as an insult, all right? All right, but he went straight in. He just followed his group and became like the primetime pastor. All right. Now, when I was a kid, they used to have these amazing, like, decorative seats. And if you were on staff, guess where you got to sit? On stage. Right. And you looked out and you just sat while the pastors preached the whole time. I always thought it was kind of weird, but we as kids used to wonder, when would Herb fall asleep during the service? And yes, and luckily, like, these seats had those little things, like, on the sides, and he would just slowly start to lean over. And Pastor Herb was awesome. He's a guy, and if I look at anybody in ministry, he just loves people. That was his ministry, just to love people. He wasn't the best speaker, like me. Like, he just loved people, all right? Now, I'm still learning how to love people. God's moving in my life. God's, you know, he's just there. And in this, I started thinking about what it means to invite. We're doing the next sermon series, if it works. We'll see. There we go. Just got to turn it on. You're invited. This is our second week of You're Invited. And this one, I think God has led us to go in a different direction with this one, all right? I don't want to be invited, and I'm invited. Do I have to go? Right? Like, who wants to be invited to a root canal? Right? You said that this morning. I thought, yeah, that's a great example. I hate root canals. Right? Who enjoys root canals? We'll have to have a talk afterwards, because you'll have to tell me why you like it. Like, it's not something that's enjoyable, right? I look at tax season, going and seeing my tax guy. Boy, that's not fun. I don't enjoy that. Anybody else enjoy that? No, yeah. Seeing that money go bye-bye, that's just not fun, right? There's other things in our life that we have a tendency to go, man, I really just want to say no to that invite. If you're, I'm borderline introvert and extrovert, right? I'm split on that. I find that my time to recuperate is by myself. But I love to be in with people too. But I will tell you, when I'm invited to somebody's house, and Michelle is like all amped, she wants to go. I am the one that's like, do we have to? Can we make up an excuse? Can we find some way not to go? I've gotten to the point, do I just stab the tire? Right? Like, just find ways. And it's not against any of the people that were invited to their house about it. It's just me. And then the moment I'm there, I had a great time. And Michelle's, this is constant. I'm telling you the truth. Every time we come back, she's like, man, I had a good time. Aren't you glad you went? Yes. Right? This is how it is. But that first initial, like, invite, you're like, oh, no. What do they expect of me? It becomes overwhelming. And it sits there. And you're like, oh, no. I will tell you, one of the requests, and I've told you already, I think, one of the things that I get really nervous and asked that invite to do weddings, all right? I am so nervous all the time. And I've got two weddings coming up in October, I think, right? Or November, right? One of those days. I got to get it right when I'm supposed to go do that wedding. I am so nervous that I'm going to mess up names. I'm so nervous about those things, and I dread those invites, but they're also really, really special to me, right? We can find this moment for God's people in Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. You can find a moment. Oh, now I can see you. Oh, boy. But we can find a moment where It's this kind of invitation that God's people dreaded. All right, these are God's people, Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. Jeremiah is a prophet. He's a messenger from God who brings justice in the first part of the books, first part of his book, and then mercy in the second part. All right? And in the first part, you get to hear, hey, don't do this. He's talking to God's people, don't do this or this isn't going to happen. Continue to do what God didn't call them to do. Right, to live a good life, to not worship other gods, not to go outside the realm is to be a follower of God, right? And they went outside the realm, extremely outside the realm of God, and started worshiping other gods, even started doing things that were very, very horrible things, right? And God punished them. He allowed the Babylonians to come in and wipe them out, wipe their city out. And they had no place to go, and they became exiles, all right? Now, in that, they traveled, and they moved towards Babylon, and they set up camp outside the gates of Babylon, right? And they had a guy named Hananiah, I think is his name, how you pronounce it. Anyway, you find him in chapter 28. He believed he was a prophet of God, and Jeremiah had been saying, hey, for 70 years, we're going to live in exile. First off, exile is not a fun place to live. You're homeless, basically. You are without land. You are without a place that you call yourself. And you're at the mercy of wherever you are. It would be like, hey, one day your house, somebody decided the bank, whoever owns it, or if you own it, just somebody saying, hey, this isn't your home anymore. You got to move out. And I don't care where you go, you just got to move out. And then wherever you go, you're still under thumb of, you don't get to dictate what you do. You've lost a lot of freedom. All right? And this is where they were living. And Jeremiah told them, hey, this is going to be for the next 70 years. That's not a fun message to hear. That's not something you want to hear. That's the rest of my life, probably. Well, hopefully. Right? That's it. I get to live just in exile, if that's your message at this time in your life, right? Hananiah came along and said, hey, really, Jeremiah got this wrong. You've only got like a year to have to deal with this, and God will provide, and we'll be good. Well, after giving that proclamation, after saying these things, guess what happened to him? He died. God said, no, 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 this is not what we're doing. This is not the right message. And he passed. And he was giving the wrong message, right? And Jeremiah comes along and gives this message. Ooh, wow. All right. Gives this message. Hey. All right. Jeremiah gives this message. Can you hear me? All right. Okay, there. All right. This is so weird. All right, Jeremiah gives us this message of 70 years of being in exile, and then we see in Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7 says this. Let me read it to you, okay? Thus says the Lord of the host, God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Sorry. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives of your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on behalf, for it is welfare you will find your welfare. I'm sorry, I got to reread that part. It just didn't sound right, right? Let's see. I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare for you. All right, let me tell you what's happening here. Jeremiah tells them what God is wanting from them, all right? He wants them to go into Babylon and make homes. Into a place that they are not loved, welcomed, They're hated. They're looked at as people of lesser standing. All right? They're not looked at as people. And he tells them, make this your home. Make this a better place. All right? For the next 70 years, build your families there. Build a business there. Make this a better place for everybody, even while they treat you horrible. That's what you're invited to do. Ew. How does that work? How do we live in that today? Right? I started thinking about this in our life and in our own world because really, you know, we could take it from the standpoint that, yes, there's people that don't like us. There's people that don't want our message. There's a whole Facebook groups that against our morals and standards, blah, 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 right? What I want to also really attack is also I think we live spiritually in an exile place sometimes. That we feel the depression, we feel the hurt, we feel the hang-ups, we feel the things that we are going through, and I don't want to make light of those things at all. But how, I thank God for these people, he put them there. You hear that? Does he love them or not love them? He loves them. But he put them there for a purpose. All right? Do you know the stuff that you go through, it doesn't necessarily mean God that put you there, but he's got a purpose for it. Whatever struggles, whatever hurts and hang-ups that you're dealing with, the frustrations that you are dealing with daily, the broken relationships that you're dealing with, the addictions that you deal with, guess what? God says, listen, I want you to build a home with a purpose here, right now. I want you to have a place that you know that God will use you here. God will love you through this. But you have to live for that purpose. Right? Can you imagine a life as one of the Israelites during this time? It was normal for them, as I said, to just say, hey, we're going to live outside of Babylon but not be in Babylon. And God comes along and says, no. Your whole community is going to be absorbed by their community. And within that community, you are going to absorb them. Right? Now, this is the dangers of what that looks like. God gave them a call to expand his identity, not theirs, when they join those communities. You understand? It is easy for us to go two ways with this, right? It is easy for us, sorry, there we go. It is easy for us to fully embrace the culture, not listen to any Christian music, not to be aware of anything Christian, but just embrace the culture and go, okay, God's going to use me in this culture, and I'm going to be in this culture, and I'm going to live in this culture. And what tends to happen is you forget God as being the purpose for you to be in that culture. And then you have the other side. Well, no. I'm going to be on this side. I'm just, everything I do is going to be Christian. Everything I listen to, everything I'm going to be a part of. And you just put this wall up, and I can't let the world in. I don't want to see what happens in the world. And the only times that I do, that I peek in, I'm like, yep, that's why I don't do it, right? And we just sit there, and we build that wall, right? And we're not inviting. We're just, whoop. And God calls this group that the Israelites are in that time, and like they were God's chosen people. What happens when God says they're chosen people, right? It has a tendency to build up some pride, build up some I'm God's chosen. And they're not. And I find myself in this situation that's not fun, and God is calling me, Jeremiah, you're wrong, man. There's no way God wants me to go into that culture and be a part of that culture and love them. Well, he did. But there's a balance to it. There's an understanding when I go over here that I don't lose touch with what's over here, but I drag what's over here over there. Understanding that this Christian culture needs to be absorbed into here and allow this to saturate everything that's going on. Right? Now, if you know what happened to Babylon, they fell. God, he promised that he was going to take care of them. He used Babylon to bring his people back into a right place with him, if you understand that. I think God allows things to happen in our life to refocus us to understand that we are dependent upon him. That we need him to be the center of our life. Right? And everything that's good or bad, God can use. If we allow God to use it and give it purpose. But it's very, very difficult to find that in the bad. It is. And it's very easy for us to dwell, to be identified with that only. And I love that Jeremiah says, no, wait a minute. You've got a bad situation here. You've kind of put yourself into this situation, but now I want to give you purpose of why you're in this situation. That you are to create wonderful businesses that will help this community that just destroyed you. That you will take their sons and their daughters as your sons and daughters. And your sons and daughters will have kids with their sons and their daughters. And you will love on them and treat them as one of your own. And I want you to make this a better place than it was before. You ever hear that? I've heard that from my mom before, that when you go someplace, leave it in a better condition than when you got it. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah? How about spiritually? This is what we're invited to do spiritually, to leave a place better than when we found it. And in some ways, it's like going and getting a root canal. And having a smile on your face while you're getting it done. Right? Or as you're getting the root canal and having to deal with it and hurting through it, praising God through it. Right? It ain't easy. But I want to also invite you to what God has called you into. Sorry. God has called you into a community, right? Right? Anybody think that it's just you and God and nobody else and can back it up with Scripture? Let me know. Right? What is the great commandment? To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? And to love your neighbor as yourself, right? And in that love with your neighbor, guess what? That is meaning you don't get to just not be an isolated island between you and God. He calls us to be this. He calls us to come together, whether we get this right on a Sunday or not. He calls us to do this, living together in worship regularly. And why does he? So that when we are struggling and we are hurting and when we are feeling like we live in exile, that we're not alone. You understand that? And in that, we are inviting others to go through that pain and agony with us. It's not a fun invite, but the reality is this, it is a spiritual invite. It's a life-giving invite. When you don't carry those burdens by yourself, which a lot of us, especially for men, I've been taught my whole life, this is my deal, this is my thing. And I won't even say it's necessarily for my parents. It's just what I've seen and I've been modeled. And we don't share what we deal with, especially spiritually. Because it's embarrassing, right? If I were to spill my guts this morning to you and tell you everything that I struggle with and everything that I deal with, whew, it'd be a weird Sunday, right? But God calls me to make sure I figure out to have that relationship with somebody that I can and I must invite into my life to carry my burdens where I feel exile. where I feel like doesn't have a home, where I feel like that I know I make choices that I know are not healthy and are a struggle. And when I start to be isolated and I start to put up those walls, I become this lone soldier of God, and it's not healthy. And I start to get very bitter and angry and frustrated. Anybody ever feel that way? Anybody ever feel that they are just alone in this relationship between me and God and nobody else cares? I'm going to tell you right now, this is a huge key in this spot right here. Have you ever invited somebody to care for you? Have you ever opened those doors and go, this is the stuff that I'm dealing with? These are the things that I'm hurting about? Because if you don't, then that draws that whole blame on yourself. Yeah, to be honest, I do. I want people to reach out to me. We all do, right? It makes it easier. Growing up, when I became a teenager, and I think it's even changed in the years of being a youth pastor, I've seen this change. Like, when I was a teenager, mostly the guys asked the girls out. Right? They made that step. Now it's kind of switched. Guys are nervous to make that step. You know, fear of rejection's real on both sides. Fear of rejection is real. This is so huge. If you are invited into somebody's life to help carry them through these things, make sure you're kind and caring. Make sure you do not pick up a stone and throw, but you pick up your cross and follow. That's what you're invited to, especially if somebody shares with you. Especially if somebody wants to share what they're dealing and they're struggling with. It is not to go to Facebook. Understand? It's not. We, if you don't know this, we are all exiles still today. You guys know that? That we are all illegal aliens. Not illegal. We're all aliens here, all right? We don't belong here. We belong with God. And in this, we are called to do what? To love the world that Christ loved this world. And Christ gave his life for this world. And we are to make it better. This is my whole thing of this. You are invited to be making this place a better place wherever you go. You understand? And this morning, you might have been drugged here. You might have been forced to come this morning. My prayer is that in this invite, even though you don't want to be here, that God is meeting you here this morning. Not through what I'm saying, not through anything, through the worship. It is through God's presence working on you. All right? And I want you to know, anybody that we bring up on stage, anybody that's even if they're the best speaker, all reality, it pales in comparison of God's Spirit moving. But you have to invite God into your life. You understand? You have to invite God into your life. He's not going to force his way. He's not going to beat down that door. He's going to love you as much as he can. He's going to show his mercy and grace continually. He's going to come in front of you all the time in your life and show you, hey, there's a better life here. If you just say yes to it. And you're invited into it. And what makes it better is not your circumstances. You might even still be frustrated, depressed, and angry. But knowing that God has your heart makes everything so much better. Because if you read Old Testament, you read New Testament, guess what you find? You find people going through these emotions, these up and downs, these frustrations, these hurts, and these hang-ups. And what is the most consistent thing there? God. God is continually loving. God is continually redeeming. God is continually moving us forward into a relationship with him all the time. And he's inviting you to do the same. And in that invite, you are called as exiles to make this a better place. You get that? And so, this weekend, what's going to happen this weekend, right? Next weekend. We have tons of flyers to hand out. Tons of flyers that say this block party. And I, this is my dream for this Sunday, is that we come and we're excited to be in God's presence, that we throw a party. And in my opinion, every Sunday is a party. It really is. We are in the presence of God. Do you believe me on that? If two or three are together, and who's there? In his name, God is. And I hope and pray that we are meeting in God's name this morning. That nothing else matters this morning. It doesn't matter what you're cooking, doesn't matter the chores that you have in front of you, it doesn't matter anything else. It doesn't matter what groceries that you need to get. Guess what matters in this moment for all eternity? I got you on that one, right? God. And that when we come here, then we sing these songs this morning, that we sing them to God. Right? When we hear God's word through a message that God's working with, right? We hear from God's word, not me, not the person that's up here, not the person that's leading worship. We hear God's word. And God has called us to be invited into a relationship with him wherever we are at. And I think I went this direction because, first off, last week, I saw a lot of tired people. A lot of frustrated people. A lot of exhausted people. A lot of people are like, man, I really fought to get out of bed to be in his presence this morning. And praise God about that. Right? This is the thing. I want us to understand. There's other human beings out here in this world that have no hope. They don't have what we have. And we are called to make their lives better. You are invited to be a part of that process. Next week, my hope is that we come together and we're outside. We don't complain about anything. We don't. It may be hot. It may be frustrating. I'm praying it doesn't rain. Don't let it rain, right? Pray that with me this week. That you invite everybody you know. These question marks represent who's going to be sitting in these seats. Who are you inviting to be in these seats with us next week? Right? We're not going to meet in here. We're going to be out there, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to be excited. This is a big key, too. You know, when we see people that we don't know, we invite ourselves into their little circle and go, hey, how are you? I'm Ben Alexander. Who are you? Let's play some bags together. Let's go play some kickball together. Let's go to the food truck. I'll buy you some lunch. Building the relationships will be key next week. And that's our main thought process when doing the block party, is understanding I'm not here for me to be entertained. I'm here to be invited by God to be in a relationship with him and the people that he's called me to be in a relationship with. And there might be new people there this next Sunday. Right? We want to be a church. I've been places that you go, well, I love the church, but I don't think I would ever invite my friend to that church. I want to be a church that we go, I want to invite everybody I know to our church. I want everybody to feel like they have a place in there, that they're loved, they're cared for, that it doesn't matter what they look like, it doesn't matter what they smell like, it doesn't matter any of those things. It matters because God has created them, and he's invited me to be making life better for them. Right? Right? So, you see people standing around next Sunday, guess what your job is? Greet them. Love on them. Get to know their name. Make a connection with them that could be for eternity. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm asking you to do something that early on in my life, I mean, no, that's great for somebody else. Those extroverts will do great during that time. I want you to know ministry has kicked my butt out of that thinking, and life in general has kicked my butt out of that thinking, because we are called to be in community. And the more that you are, the more that you do this, the more that you realize this is how God has created us. The more that you do that, let me tell you this too. In those areas that you feel that God is just maybe abandoned you feel, and you share it. You live it out with somebody. you start to see the redemption of God moving in those moments. Knowing that I don't have to carry my burdens alone, that God has designed us to do that together, is huge. To know that I can spill my guts to somebody and trust them and know that they're not going to go away just going, holy cow, whoo, and their hair's going to turn white. No. They're going to go and pray. They're going to follow up with me. Hey, are you still making good life decisions? Hey, I know you're struggling right now. You feel alone and you're hurt. I want you to know, brother, that I got you. I'm here for you. Because I think a lot of people live the life of exile. And it's very lonely and very scary. But we are invited to make our homes there. We are invited to make our businesses there. We are invited to make this a better place. Jeremiah challenged the people of God these things, that we live in a broken world, and they might even be frustrated. The people of God were frustrated and lost, and he challenged them in that lostness to find God and to move with God where he's calling them. That's what you're called to do. We live in a broken world. And guess what? This is broken. You realize that? We don't do it right. I know we don't do it right, but God blesses it. Because the reality is this, we want to do it for God. And he's the only reason that makes it right. No matter what efforts we do, no matter how we were to change this, only God makes this right. All right? You're invited to find those places that can be miserable and allow it God to use you to make it a better place. Understand? It's not easy. A lot of us run away from the misery. A lot of us will look at the misery and go, oh, I'm glad I'm not living there. But I want you to understand, God's called you there. That there's people in your life I know that need your touch, your love, to make their life better because of what you have with God. You realize that? That's your call this week. I'm inviting you to be a part of that, to seek out the exiles, all right? To love them, to be with them. Make this your home because God is residing here. Okay? And also, next week, be ready to party. All right? Kind of a weird combo, right? Be ready to party next week. Invite all your friends. Pray for the weather. Pray that everything goes without a hitch, and if it doesn't, oh well. Right? But be praying who you need to invite, whether that's 5 people, 10 people, 1 person, and whoever shows up, that's all that matters. That morning, right? If only 1 person out of your 50 that invite, that's okay. If all 50 come, good luck to you, all right? But this is huge, church. We are called to be the church and to love those people that come. That should be our number one priority when that morning, besides loving God, loving those who come, all right? So when fun times come, don't make it all about yourself. Welcome them. Love them. That's at me. I just heard it. Yeah, Ben. I will. All right? Besides kickball and hitting kids with a ball, that's the only fun that I'm going to have. All right? But no, it is about loving the people, especially when our doors are purposely open to invite a community to come in. We have to acknowledge that. We can't just sit, oh, I'm so glad they're here, and look at them. Oh, look, we got 50 new people. Woo-hoo! Did you meet them? Did you talk to them? Did you love on them? Did you get to know them? Right? It's happening next week. Be here next week. Be praying for next week. Pray that God just moves. I know he's moving this morning. I hope he is. I hope he's if just one of you felt this message, I praise God for it, all right? But just know that you are invited to be in a relationship with God and people that he has designed for you to be involved in their life. And that might be miserable at sometimes, okay? But it might be carrying their misery with them and bringing hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for how you're moving. Thank you how you are changing lives, dear Lord. I pray that we are encouraged this morning to live out your call. I pray that we take the invitation seriously. I pray that we're already praying for names and praying for people that need you. I pray that we're actively making this world a better place. Lord, I pray that we understand our real home is with you. And we are just showing people what that is. Lord, I pray this week can be a week where we glorify you, that we see you're moving in our lives, that we see new opportunities of relationships through you. I pray that we open our hearts and our minds to those that we need to invite next week. Lord, I pray for next week's service that we just glorify you with that time, that we just party and it's all centered around you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor that you deserve. And our lives are at your hands. Amen.